Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Moltek Packaging Limited's earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Nitin Gupta, Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome management and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today J. Lakshman Rao, Chairman and Managing Director. I shall now hand over the call to him for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much, Nitin. I am very happy to inform you an excellent performance in this quarter by Moltek Packaging, where the revenues have shot up by 22% and EBITDA margin has also shot up from 18% last year to 19.7%. EBITDA per kg grew by 29% and net profit is up by around 35%. This growth was possible due to all the sectors are doing very good in this year. Starting with the paint segment, where thanks to ABG, the numbers have gone up considerably, and followed by pharma, which has first time last year itself crosses the break-even, has again grown by around 11% over the Q4, and started contributing handsomely to the bottom line. And food and FMCG, after a long time of several quarters, has crossed double digits and almost achieved 14%. 16% growth rate in the current quarter. So with all the segments doing good, only lubricant has a negative growth, which was expected in this general monsoon season. Otherwise, all the segments are on a forward run, giving us almost 22% growth in revenue and improved profitability in all sectors across. What is more exciting for us at Moltek is the speed at which the pharma packaging is getting adopted and approved by several major players in the pharma industry. As we talk in the last quarter again, 4 to 6 audits have taken place and everybody approving our facilities and started taking our products for trials. So as you know, and as I explained in the last quarter meeting, pharma is a little long time taking, but I am pleasantly surprised that we could break in much faster than others. And going forward, several approvals are which have been received in the last 3-4 months will start turning into commercial orders, improving the numbers in a better pace in the next few quarters. I still feel that our set target of 35 crores for the current financial year for pharma is very much achievable. And in the food and FMCG also, as I said last year, printing bottlenecks have been completely removed, which enabled us to manage well with the label connectivity and IML product timely supplies. In spite of almost 1 month shortened summer, you all know that right from May, rain started all over India and consumption of ice cream and yogurts have fallen drastically. But in spite of that, we have registered a 16% growth in food and FMCG, which I feel is a very good indicator for future growth. And our Panipat thin wall food products is yet to start. It will be starting in the month of August, and that will also start adding to the another high-value product line of operation for Moltek. So with all this, the future looks good and bright. And we are back on high-speed track now. For the last couple of years, more of project implementation and creating the greenfield projects has taken our attention and efforts. And now it is the time that these will be put into better utilization, which will improve the margins and profitability, I sincerely hope. So now I put it back to the operator for the question and answers, through which we can discuss more in detail.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you so much. And sir, congrats on a good quarter. My first question is on your paints business. Could you quantify the amount of growth that you've seen both for Aditya Birla Glassing as well as for the rest of the business? That'll be my first question in terms of volumes.
See, I don't want to break up between the companies because that would be against our non-disclosure. But Aditya Birla is the main contributor for our growth, is that much I can tell. However, even Asian Paints and other companies like ExxonMobil and KNP maintained, if not a positive growth, a neutral growth, or sustained the same levels of the previous quarter. So that way, I see majority of the growth has come through Aditya ABC growth.
Sure. And sir, do you expect this quarterly run rate to sustain during the rest of the year? And barring, let's say, the quarterly variation that happened because of the season demand. But otherwise, do you expect this 5,500 tons of paint containers sort of continue for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we see that this paint will at least sustain at 5,500, 5,400 level, at least till third quarter, second quarter. Because third quarter will be a little dip after Diwali. But again, fourth quarter will start picking up. So probably we may end up 21 to 22,000 tons in the paint sector this year. Can still be better, provided how the market dynamics play between the players.
Sure. And sir, on your press release, you did mention, let's say, some of the newer customers for your pharma business. So I see you have mentioned Laurus Plus, let's say, some of the other pharma companies as well. So are these like recent approvals? Were you already in discussion with these? And then given that you've already guided on the scale of the business, is there any change to that, let's say, over the next 2 to 3 years in terms of the scale that you look to win?
I'm positive that what I guided last quarter will continue to happen. Inventia, MN, Laurus Lab, Pulse, these guys have been reviewing us and monitoring our products and testing our products for last several months. But now they started, at least a couple of them started giving commercial orders, and a couple of them are yet to release. And I also said some of them, there are several other companies which have either audited our premises or testing our products. So all these numbers will start gradually adding to the pharma business. And I foresee a better number can achieve even in this current year if things go well. Because a couple of new products which have been approved and commercial orders are issued will be starting in August. So they will contribute maybe a crore of rupees per month in terms of turnover. But a lot of other products which have been approved or under approval by some of these clients will start adding. Each will be adding, 25 to 40, 50 lakhs per month. So like this, as we accumulate, the numbers can double next year probably, if not at least 50-60%. So if you reach 35 to 40 this year, probably assuming 50 to 60 crores next year as a certain possibility.
And sir, lastly, you've also mentioned in your presentation, you are trying to get into other non-seasonal industries as well in order to diversify away from, say, seasonal products like ice cream. Could you quantify which other segments and then the scale of those segments over the couple of years? I mean, would it be sizable in the overall scheme of things?
Yes, yes. For example, you take Surf Excel, which is a detergent product. It's now contributing handsomely to our Q-Pack sales. And similarly, Horlicks, which is a more of a nutritional drink and consumed throughout the year, is started picking up numbers. We have some products for Marico, which are also completely annual. We have protein products, which are also annual consumption. There's no much of seasonality in protein consumption. So coming to noodles, that's again a product where the consumption is there every season. So only ice cream and yogurt continue to be major players, but they are seasonal in nature. At least, especially in rainy season, consumption of ice creams and yogurt come down considerably in India. So that trend will continue. But because of these products, agro products, products which are micro fertilizers, which are again, you know, are required in the rainy season. So they will add numbers. Similarly, sweets, sweet boxes are picking up numbers very much. We are now introduced with sippers, which will go more, of course, again back in summer. But these sweet boxes go well in our festival season starting now. So June, July onwards, things will start picking up till end of this year, till New Year. There are several festivals and festivities, including Christmas. So until end of the year, calendar year, we'll have demand for those boxes. And we are doubling that capacity now. And then restaurant packs, throughout the year, there is demand for them. So like this, the dependence on ice creams and yogurt would be coming down a lot compared to 5 years ago, our product mix, and today we have much wider range. And Panipat plant will be starting production in August. But sure, it will catch up with the festival demand in north, and it will catch up for the summer by March, when the next summer starts. So that will be adding numbers in food and FMCG. So we are confident that 15%, 16% growth, what we achieved in food and FMCG, can continue.
Sure. So last question is on your overall volume outlook, volume growth outlook, and also in terms of your capacity. So what I understand is you're also expanding for ABG as well, which is set to get commissioned by second quarter. And then, of course, this Panipat facility, which comes in from August onwards. Are there any other capacities that you have planned?
Yeah, capacities in pharma are also gradually being increased as per the demand increase. We have even acquired a new land of 2.5 acres adjacent to our Sultanpur project. And there also, again, there will be investments in terms of injection molding machines, molds, IBM machines, and even new product range is also under final consideration. If we go for that product range, that can also require some investments. Not very huge, because it's not greenfield, but there will be reasonable investments in pharma growth. So that way, this year also, there will be investment to the tune of 80 to 90 crores, if not 130, 140, which we invested in the last three financial years.
Sure. So anything on the volume outlook that you expect for this year?
Yeah, the volume outlook, we are aiming at least 45,000 tons for the full year, 43 to 45,000, depending upon how the other quarters go by. That's why we still hold on to the expectation of 12 to 15% volume growth, or at least 18-20% of revenue growth. One positive point I am glad about is, if you look at the per kg sale revenue, it's shot up from 198 last year to 211. Whereas the that actually contributed well to the EBITDA. That is because of the product mix is improving. We are more of pharma added, and from 0 to whatever 9 crores, 7.5 crores now. And food and FMCG has grown considerably. So these two are the power factors which increased our net revenue per kg.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Navalgund from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, first question is on Asian Paints. So in your opening comments, you mentioned that large part of the growth in paints is driven by APG. And you are saying that its APG portfolio is largely packaged. But we were talking about, let's say, some shift of volume happening from, let's say,
non-IML to IML. Your voice is
are
not
you...
clear, Rashid.
Hello, is it better?
Yeah, better now.
Yeah, I'm saying there was a talk about, you know, shift of volumes from non-IML to IML, wherein we clearly have an edge over maybe peers. So why it is not getting reflected in the numbers as such? No. I'm talking about Asian Paints, yeah.
No, Asian Paints are neutral. You remember last 2-3 years we had an actual negative growth in Asian Paints, 10 to 12% drop in the last three financial years. And this year we are stable. That itself is a good indicator of staying fit with Asian Paints through IML. And with now IML facilities have been created in all plants. Earlier we used to have supply them from Hyderabad or part of Daman, but now we have facility at Satara, Vizag and Mysore also ready to go with IML, where we set up robots and compatible molds. So I am hoping that that should improve our numbers in the gradually during the next few quarters. So ultimately, I hope we'll end up with a positive digit of growth in Asian Paints also.
Sure. Okay. And second one on the capacity utilization, I think you mentioned that Satara was at 55-57% in FY25, but we were at almost, 75% utilization somewhere in April, May. So possible to share the number for the quarter in paints overall and maybe for Satara?
Quarter capacity utilization of Satara is again not very impressive because we have added several machines there in view of their Mahad requirement. So the Satara plant utilization is still in 50s, 50-55% only, because of the extra capacity that has been created in the last 6 months. That is getting slowly occupied because their Mahad operations are improving at ABG. And once it takes off, hopefully in this season, their season starts from July till November, hopefully that number will improve to 60-65%.
Sure. And I think we are improving our quarterly run rate for pharma, and you talked about new approvals also. So, I mean, what sort of annual number you are looking at this year in pharma?
I'm still hoping on 35 crores would be a good number to reach from 7-8 crores last full year, 8-9 crores. So that will be quadrupling our numbers. So from 9 crores or whatever last year, full year, we'll be achieving at around 35-36 crores for sure. And if few things happen as per our plan, it can even exceed.
Sure. And possible to share, I mean, which part of your portfolio, let's say your effervescent tubes or canisters vis-a-vis bottles and caps, which part is actually getting a lot more traction, or it's equally...
Currently, it's effervescent tubes. If you ask me, the majority of the, more than 50% of the sale is happening in EV tubes. But caps and bottles will overtake very soon because a number of approvals are pending or cleared for trial runs, applied for FDA approval, client approval. So several products, I would say, more than 20 products are at different approval stage by clients. And one by one are getting released. For example, Gravity released 2-3 products in the month of May, June. And now they are talking about another 3 product release. So those numbers will be added, and MSN, Laris, Ajanta, we have several other clients who have approved but not even started testing our products. After approval, they take the testing, and after testing, commercial trials. Commercial trial ke baad, machine trials. Machine trial ke baad, final commercial orders. Even commercial orders won't come in millions. They first give a couple of lakhs and see their lines and everything. And then fourth stage, they go for giving us a major stake. If you ask me, hardly a couple of clients are adopted us as one of the major suppliers, not even the most highest. We are still getting maybe 20-25% of share from a couple of clients, whereas more than 15 clients have approved us. So once all these 15 clients take us as one of their major suppliers, the number can shoot up. That I don't want to speculate now, but I'm sure it's going to be good in the coming years.
Right. So we are in the process of doubling the capacity. So with this potential expansion, I mean, the peak revenue can be like 100 crores from pharma?
Yeah. The current capacity itself, we can reach 60 to 70 crores, and this new expansion of another 10-12 crores brownfield will take it beyond 100 crores possible capacity. And then there will be a continuous upgrowth because we have taken the land, I told last quarter, for another 2.5 acres adjacent to the current land. And there, probably the second phase, I would call this is the first phase expansion, what is happening during this year. And second phase expansion will happen in that land next year, that is next financial year, for sure, because the way it's going on, the facility will not be able to hold the growth we need to construct. The whole thing is pharma buildings and interior standard specs to reach. We need at least 9 to 12 months for the building itself. So we are starting that blueprint now for the new land also. But probably we'll start only towards the end of this calendar year and reach into production by middle of next year. So this year production, fortunately, there's enough space in the existing building itself. There we'll be able to accommodate the current year expansion. And future expansion will happen in the new land, probably in the next financial year.
Sure. And one last thing from my side. The thin wall capacity in North, which we are starting from August, do we have any sort of visibility from existing clients, let's say a few FMCG companies, and maybe which all categories we'll be targeting to begin with?
Yeah, we have Surf Excel, for example, at Baddi. So that volumes okay. which are now currently going all the way from Daman or Hyderabad will be molded there. We have a new client added in, what is that company, protein powder. We are supplying from Hyderabad, which will be now converted there. And we have a range of new sweet boxes for the North market will be starting production. A range of ice cream products and yogurt products by February, March will start. So accordingly, their operations can reach a level of almost 1,800 to 2,000 tons per annum by next financial year. This year it will be ramping up gradually from 0 to 1,000 tons by end of this financial year, and probably 1,500 to 1,800 tons during the next financial year in the food and FMCG segment.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanchit Narang from Narang Family Office. Please go ahead.
Is my voice audible?
Yes, yes, Mr. Sanchit. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is, like now we have reached 41.8 per kg EBITDA per ton. You have guided us for the last quarter, 42 rupees per ton. But going forward, given Q1 is one of your stronger quarters, how would we achieve that 42 rupees, or we will cross it? You are having visibility to cross it, or we will stay short? I'm a little confused on that.
This is again a speculative thing. I said 42 rupees is our target, and we are already there at 41.6. And going forward, of course, as you said, this is the best quarter, but the better quarters might emerge if pharma takes up in a way beyond you know, what it is in this Q1, and probably it can safeguard the bottom line, if not the top line. And so I'm still confident we will be in the bracket of 41-42 for the full year, and I won't be surprised if it marginally crosses also.
Okay. And last quarter you guided us for any breakthrough on the JSW to ActionNobles.
JSW has acquired ExxonMobil. I didn't say there will be a breakthrough. I said the business will continue with ExxonMobil.
Yeah, and I was at what to be distance that we might get a entry in JSW through ExxonMobil.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that talks about that?
Not yet happened. Nothing. Actually, the previous management only is still monitoring and communicating with us. There is no change has been in, even announced formally. So I can't comment as of now, and that is not a certainty that we will get their business. The last time also I mentioned that it may happen, may not happen. So we would only know once their new management really takes over.
Thank you. That was my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Rao. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations. Can you give me a breakup of 11,400 crore by segment?
11,400 tons, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Paint is around 5,600. Loops is 2,400. Food and QPAC together is 3,200. 190 pharma.
Okay. The second question I have is the KR facility which came up first. So what is the capacity utilization there, and is it significantly helping to improve our EBITDA? Because
KR capacity utilization has improved a bit. It is now close to 68%, and it will certainly, once it crosses 60-65%, its contribution to the bottom line will be reasonable, if not great. And we are now shifting Gulf production from Vizag to Cheyyar. Most of the boats are ready, and we are setting up one set of pail manufacturing at Cheyyar to meet the lubricant demand, because lubricant molds are different, paint molds are different. So once that starts, probably in August, the Cheyyar capacity utilization will further improve.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to check in food and FMCG, this kind of growth, I mean, you have given a lot of commentary, but top two customer or top three customers, are they giving indication that the throughput will improve and the products basket will also improve?
The throughput improvement depends upon their product performance, but the basket improvement I can see definitely will happen, because more and more food and FMCG products are seeking IML containers now. We are in talks with a couple of MNCs for projects which can involve reasonable number of quantities of products, which can add significantly to the numbers. Even HUL last year growth was, this quarter growth compared to last year was very considerable. I don't want to quote the percentage, but it is definitely a big jump. And going forward, now we added a, what is that? Not Imami, what is it? Marico. We added Nestle and Horlicks, that is GSK. Who have started taking their products in IML containers. So once they see the traction happening in the market, there will be a lot of interest in the other competitive products. So we see that FMCG, there's a long way to go in growth. Even the sippers we have introduced for the first time in India with IML, those are yet to take off in a big way, but we are in talks with a couple of if not a huge players, medium players. Generally, it is always the mid-sized players take a faster call on packaging change, and then the biggies follow. So we hope that shippers market will establish over the next few quarters. So that is where we are also putting our fingers into, and we hope that will contribute to the growth in food and FMCG.
Okay. Just last question on Panipat. Is Panipat is now fully operational and it will be commercialized for most of the products?
See, Panipat is also currently running at around 78% in this quarter. That's a pretty good percentage to achieve in last within 1.5 years. And there, we have already started the Q-Pack production. Some of the Q-Packs for Surf Excel detergent and some of the edible oil suppliers we have started giving from Panipat itself. So going forward, again, we are adding some more machines there in this year. The current capacity of 5,000 tons probably would shoot up to somewhere around 6,500 to 7,000, including food and FMCG. In food and FMCG, there currently is maybe 400, 500, 600 tons. Another 1,000 tons we'll be adding now, and maybe another 700, 800 in the pail business that is meant for ABG growth. So Panipat will continue to have good traction because of the product mix of both Q-Pack, food, and pails, almost like it's Hyderabad unit. So that's another focus unit for us, and probably it will continue to enjoy better capacity utilization.
Okay. Just last follow-up on the overall volume growth, what you've delivered this quarter is very good. But if you have to maintain 15%, which are the top two segments which will drive in the rest of year? Of course, paint will be one.
Paint will continue to be there because of ABG numbers are growing up compared to the last year in a big way. So paint will continue to be adding good numbers. Food and FMCG and in a bigger way, though it is small number, is pharma. In terms of EBITDA addition, are improving the EBITDA. Pharma will play a major role. Whereas for the volumes growth, food and FMCG and paint will continue to be rising.
Okay. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratyush, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Please go ahead.
So I have three questions mainly. Firstly, what is the lead time for procurement of like goods from any customer in each of the segments, paints and FMCG and pharma?
What do you mean by receiving the goods? You mean supplying the goods?
So I mean, like, for example, if Asian Paints requires 1,000 extra containers in December, they want it to be sold to the distributor by December, then considering the time they will require to manufacture the paint and then supply it, in which month would they probably place the order for the 1,000 containers with you? Would it be like September or October?
No,
how many months in advance would it typically be?
A couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks in advance.
Okay. And it's similar for all the sectors?
Mostly. Most of them,
okay.
Nobody keeps a huge stock of packaging materials. They just take the packaging material just a few days in advance. And the moment they fill it, it is the time for distribution. So, mostly, in my opinion, most of the clients will move off the goods within 2-3 weeks from the day they procure from us.
Okay. So, second question, like, I see that there's a lot. For example, they are saying in hydrogen. So there's a company, Time Technoplast, which uses polymers to make the container for hydrogen, CNG, etc. So I wanted to understand if that's something you will also in the future, and if not, is there a very big difference between plastic packaging and polymer packaging because of which you would not enter this segment?
Yes. Yeah, I have to study that, what you are talking about, hydrogen packing and other fuel.
Okay.
If it is made of multi-layer film or tubes, that is different from injection molding. Injection molding is always like containers, where especially in injection molding, you get only wide mouth containers. So very gaseous products will be difficult to handle in containers. You need only tubular or multi-layer film packing for that. You can't do it in injection.
Okay.
Unless
okay. And so last.
Not effervescent. Yeah.
Okay. So last question. So basically, like there was some started manufacturing their own packaging. So I mean, what kind of reasons are there for which, for example, Asian Paints or any big packaging might not backward integrate and start manufacturing their own tubs? Like just a customer concentration based question.
Yeah, none of the companies have their own packaging manufacturing facility because it makes no sense to produce the packaging products because the volumes that you can produce on an injection molding machine are humongous. And if your plant is not able to consume it, then you have to find how to utilize your capacity. So nobody wants to go to the pain of manufacturing their own packaging products, never in the history. Very rarely you might notice it. Maybe in case of tins for edible oil, because of the tin is a cheap product and transportation eats a lot of money, most of the tins are made in-house by the edible oil companies. That is the only area where the packaging products are made, whereas containers are very high-end technology and investment is huge and nobody would venture to go into it as a in-house capacity. That fear you don't need not have.
Okay, just one additional question, sir. Generally, in pharma or any sector, till what extent are customers willing to give any one company, for example, Moltec or any other raw material area company, like to, how would you be receiving? Would it be 20, 50 or how much of their order would be given to you?
Yeah, typically big companies look at 20-25% is a comfortable share for one supplier. But you will be surprised that we have several customers, even today, we are the 100% supplier to them. That includes Hindustan Levers, that includes even Mandelis, which are international. So there are companies like Shell, Mobil and Valvoline where we are more than 60% supplier. Castrol, we are more than 60-70% supplier. So that all depends upon the reputation and credentials of the packaging company.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Keynote Capitals. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions are answered. However, I would like to know, you have mentioned about just-in-time supply chain process for the FMCG. Could you let us know what kind of working capital improvisation are taking place because of this?
No. Actually, what we mean by just-in-time is previously we used to have problems handling the label connectivity. In IML label connectivity, we used to have almost 3 to 4 weeks waiting period, and then supplying to client would take another 1 week. So we used to quote 5 weeks as a supply time for any new product or a new artwork development. Whereas now with the enhanced capacities both in printing and die cutting, the connectivity can be as low as 7 to 10 days. So what when we said that improvement is connectivity in the just-in-time means within a week, 10 days. Because as I said to the previous question, typically clients plan 2 to 3 weeks packaging material. So they will be planning on first of the month, supplies to come by middle of the month. So if earlier we used to take about a month to meet such a demand or more than a month, today we brought it down to 10 days thanks to the extra capacities we created in printing and better quality, better inventory control. In fact, in this process, inventory will not go up. Rather, inventory becomes little leaner because earlier we used to keep for big brands 2 to 3 months inventory. But today we don't need to because of higher capacity available and better machinery which can produce short quantities with the low rejections and low cost. So this enhanced printing facilities enable us to improve our supply connectivity. Especially in main season, where the clients also cannot assess their demand. They think they can sell 1 lakh containers of 1,000 ml in April. All of a sudden, it will become 2 to 2.5 lakhs. And then they will scamper to procure the packaging material, without which they can't sell. So that is when we will be in a position to respond better now with the enhanced printing facilities. That is the meaning.
Correct. So, if I'm understanding it correct, this means that the testing phase where customer requires multiple changes in their first batch of product, we can deliver it faster, due to which it would be easier for us to get approval from a newer client. One. Second, the inventory days that we have today on our books is expected to reduce with the help of this, correct?
Yeah, yes or no for the second one, but surely for the first one, yes, because of better serviceability during the summer especially, or high season like festival pack or whatever, we used to lose quite a few clients in the past. Now the connectivity has become faster and most of the clients are happy this season with our supplies in time. And that is not further going to improve now. Because of two reasons. One is Panipat being closer to North will now service the North clients and supply within 2-3 days instead of 10 days from Hyderabad. Second is IML quantities can be produced quickly on the new machinery what we added and can be brought into production faster than earlier. So instead of 3 to 5 weeks waiting, their surges in demand can be met within 10 days. So that will make them depend more on Moltec.
Fair point. So my second question, could you give me the mix of IML, non-IML volume and value?
Yeah, that still continue to be similar to last quarter. It is around 75% total IML and label, 25% non-IML. But in the non-IML again, there is a pharma of whatever 3-4%. To be removed pumps also. So it will be around 20% only skin printing and other decoration, DOP.
Got it. And value terms?
In terms of value, it is still similar, 77%, up from 70% last Q1. That's in 1 year, there's an improvement of 70% becoming 77%. So more adoption of IML and HTL. And non-IML has come down.
Excellent, if I'm correct, IML products are at least 10% expensive than non-IML, right?
You can't talk in percentage because in big pails, like 20-liter pail, the cost of the pail is 200 rupees. The delta won't be 20 rupees. It may be 7-8 rupees. But in the case of small container like a 100 ml container, 4 rupees will become 450. There it may be 10 to 15%. So it is higher, but not
exactly 10%. And the next question is that what kind of, today if we have a capacity of 16,000, what kind of capacity are we expected to have by the end of FY26?
See, from whatever the machinery what we have planned already and which are expected to be added during the current financial year, we foresee that 61,500 may reach around 70,000 tons, including pharma. So now currently it is 63,64. Probably it will go beyond 72,000 by end of this financial year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Bajaj from Lucky Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my first question is, sir, what capacity utilization are we at Panipat and Cheyyar today?
Panipat is 68% and Cheyyar is around, Panipat is 78%, Cheyyar is 68%.
Okay. And how are we planning to increase capacity, sir, in these two plants?
Panipat, as I just answered, will be reaching almost 7,000 tons, including food, gradually. In August, food will be added, about 1,800 to 1,000 tons. It's already having a 500-600 tons of QPAC capacity. Another 800 to 1,000 will be added in the next 4-5 months, starting from August. So by end of this financial year, we'll have another 1,000 of food and maybe another 700-800 of pail and QPAC will be added, bringing it to 7,000 tons by end of the financial year.
Okay. I believe Panipat was 5,000 tons, right, in terms of capacity as of today?
Yeah, per annum.
Okay. And whatever we are increasing, the capacity is not for paints. It is for food and FMCG.
No, partly paint, maybe 500 to 800 will be for paints, which is also fungible with QPAC. That will take care of both in case of ABG sudden spot in demand. It can be fungible with QPAC. So that's about 1,000 tons and about 1,000 tons of food.
Understood. Okay. And so my second question is, this quarter loops segment has grown 7-8%. Could you help us with, where is the growth driven from? Because it was kind of flattish or degrowing for the past 1-2 years.
No, this year also, if you see the volumes, it's a degrowth.
Hello, Mr. Yash?
Yeah.
It's only in the, compared to Q4, also it is a degrowth. Compared to Q4, it is a gain, but compared to the Q1 of last year, it's down. Q4, it has improved a bit, but when compared to the Q1 of last year, because, this year rains started very early. From May beginning, there are rains all over south, and this has impacted the lubricant sales also. Movement of goods will come down. That is the reason for loops negative growth. But I think it may end up with a 0-0 kind of a situation again, because loops is a kind of stagnant industry.
Sure. And so my last question is regarding the pharma division, sir. What kind of run rate would we exit at this year? What are the targets this year for us? Because we have...
We anticipate this... 7.4, 7.5 crores what we achieved this year, this quarter. We'll start ramping up in couple of quarters and probably we will be able to reach a level of 10 plus crores per quarter by end of this financial year. And that should put us somewhere around 35, 36 crores for the full year.
35, 36. Got it.
Yeah, as against that's all from 10 crores last year.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Guru Darshan from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good set of numbers here. Sorry if I'm repeating the question. I just want to understand what are the key drivers for FMCG growth, FMCG and FMCG growth in the current quarter?
As I explained in my previous questions, answers, food and FMCG growth has come because of our improved serviceability in terms of label connectivity and supplying in time. That is one of the key reasons, because clients were always there for us. It was our inability last year to not able to make supplies in time, which we have corrected by adding sufficient capacities in printing and die cutting. And now the label connectivity has improved and supplies have certainly improved. And in spite of weak summer, we still have ended up with 16% growth in food, that is plain food, not adding the QPAC, which is a really satisfying number. It would have been more than 20% had the summer continued in May. Even though it didn't, we have reached a 16% growth. And another adding to that is some of the clients realizing Moltec's quality and consistency, and they are also coming back. But I would say that our ability to connect the dots is what really improved our numbers.
All right, got it. The second question, when you say the pharma segment has achieved break-even, are you referring to that it's EBITDA break-even?
No, we are talking about the bottom line.
PBT break-even.
Yeah, PAT.
All right, got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Saha from NBI Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible?
Yes, yeah. Deepak. Deepak Saha, please go ahead.
Hi, sir, a couple of questions. First, on the food and FMCG part, now given the fact that we had this sporadic monsoons or inconsistent summer season, so had we had a normal season, you said we could have done 20%. So for the upcoming quarters, that kind of, for the full year, I mean, it's not the 20%, but for the coming quarters, can 20% kind of a growth be possible for the food and FMCG side?
It should be, because we are starting sweet packs manufacturing in Panipat from August, maybe middle of August, 10th or 15th, we are planning inauguration of the food and FMCG production there. Already QPAC production started a few months ago, but the sweet boxes will start from sometime in the middle of August, and that will slowly pick up over the next quarter. So in Q3 onwards, I can see the numbers moving towards 20%, if not Q2. And even in Q2, it can be decently good, but Q3 onwards, I can be sure that we will be able to reach, I mean, we are aiming to reach 20% volume growth in food and FMCG.
Got it. And sir, on the, I missed the value split that you get for IML and non-IML. Did you mention 76%, 77% on the value, in terms of value for IML split?
77. Value.
Okay.
Quantity 75.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, the earlier commentary was that we are quite confident given the shift towards IML, we'd be heading towards 80% plus. So do you stick to that kind of expectation for the full year? Oh, I mean, at least for the coming quarters.
Not for full year, in few quarters, it should go to that level, and probably it will stabilize there. There may not, you know, there will be still some people who still buy plain containers, still buy pharmaceutical is mostly unprinted. So like that, slowly it may stagnate at around 80%, 75-80% between.
Got it. And on the raw material side, sir, if you can give us some understanding about the you know, the mechanism for passing down the raw material prices to your customers, especially given the volatility in crude oil side. So if you can share some color, do we pass it immediately? It comes with a lag, some timeline. If you can share how do we operate with passing down the raw material prices to the consumers?
Yeah, it is as usual, like in the past. It's sometimes 1 month old price is applicable, or 3 months average price. Very rarely it is 6 months average price also for a couple of clients. So mostly it is 75% of the clients go for previous month pricing.
Got it. And lastly, sir, on the recycled content part, I think earlier we were talking 20% kind of a number for some of the industries that minimum usage of this recycled content, and we have certain, you know, margin improvement also associated with it. So currently, if you can give some color, how is that particular number? Is it going up? Because earlier we have the belief that this number should, you know, gradually go up. So if you can give us some understanding there.
Yeah, in RCP there is certainly a growth in utilization, and thanks to some of the suppliers who have established the product quality, we are in a better position to use more and more RCP. I think in this current financial year we have crossed using 7,500 tons of RCP already. That when you see it as a quantity on 38,264 last year, it's close to, on this 11,400 per quarter, on 44,000 it's more than 15%. And gradually I think we inch towards 20% utilization in the current financial year.
Okay, and that's relevant for industrial, that's paint and loops, right? I mean, it's not relevant for
it's
your...
not for the food and QPEX, no, pharma, no. So that will continue to be only for the about 70% of our volume.
Got it. And as far as...
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So one last thing, as far as the fungibility of these machines are concerned, so probably we can, it is durable for pharma and food, and on the other side, lubes and paint. So these are fungible, right? I mean, we can't use paint and pharma capacity to large extent. I mean, for small requirement we can, but if you can share some color, the fungibility between segments?
That's a good question. Paints, lubes, and even QPAC are fungible. QPAC also is a kind of a pail, and even its margins are also similar to pails. So paint, loops, and QPAC are kind of fungible products. Food and pharma, yes, they are fungible because of machine size, screw size, and even the robotics. Of course, robotics are not required much for pharma other than tubes. And the GMP standards, what we keep the food, allows some of the pharma products to be molded in food section. For example, EV tubes, they don't need DMF facility. So whenever there is excess capacity requirement in pharma, we can run that in food section to some extent. But most of the pharma products which are pure pharma, we cannot run them in food. So there are limitations, but there is some scope for fungibility. Especially food products, if the demand picks up, they can easily be run in pharma. Though it is not advisable in cost point of view, but still to meet the sudden surge in demand for food, we can make use of the machines in the pharma.
Got it, sir. That's all from my end, and all the best for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Deepak. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just had one question. So earlier you indicated that the volume mix between IML and non-IML has broadly remained similar, right, in Q4 of previous quarter and Q1, right? And despite similarity in the volume mix between IML and non-IML, your gross profit per kg has gone up by 3 rupees, right, on QOQ basis. Right. Now, if I look at your volume split, the only difference I could figure out is that your paints volume, which contributed around 45% in Q4, has gone up to 49%. Right. So your IML non-IML remains same, but your paint volume has gone up, and that is what it is leading to your GP per kg improvement on QOQ basis. So would it be fair to conclude that the IML mix within the paint segment has gone higher, let's say in Q1 versus Q4?
Yes. As I told you in the last quarter, Asian Paints is adopting more and more IML in their top brands, and that enabled us to set up even robotic facilities, all the 5 plants across India now. So that has also encouraged them to go for more IML adoption. That is one of the reasons for better improvement. But these numbers of 75% and 75% in Q4 and Q1 are little, kind of confusing, because if you notice that food and FMCG growth is what contributed to the better EBITDA margin considerably. And of course, a part of the paint moving towards IML also is one of the reasons.
Okay, but so your food and FMCG, if I look at your volume mix, actually have come down by a few basis points. So that should not lead to any material improvement in GP per kg, right? It has to be the IML contribution which is coming from the paint.
No. If you look at the absolute number, the 1,379 tons in Q4 has become 1,568 in Q1. So that's up by almost 14%.
Okay, but in your volume mix there, it hasn't made a difference. That's what I'm trying to conclude. Not on the absolute level, but the volume mix.
Oh, in the overall volume mix, it is still 13.79%, which was 14%.
Exactly.
If you are looking at that way, yes. But in terms of Q4 to Q1, that rise of 200 tons of food and FMCG contributes decently better, because almost we have doubled the EBITDA compared to paint and loops in the food and FMCG.
Okay. So would it be possible for you to tell what is the, let's say, IML and non-IML split between the segments, paints, loops?
Probably that need to be divided and given to you by our team. If you can write to Rambabu, he can answer.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for answering the question, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranjal Mukhija from Growth Sphere Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Pranjal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity and congratulations on a great, great set of numbers. Sir, I have a couple of questions on the pharma side. So the first question is more from my clarity point of view. The Sultanpur facility that we're operating, the pharma part there, so currently the production capacity is 1500 tons, right, there?
Yeah.
And by in the near term, we're expecting this to reach to 3000 tons, right?
Not 3000. It will probably go to 2000 quickly in this next 6 months. And probably next financial year, we'll be trying to hit about the 3500. So current plan is to bring it at least up to 2000 tons in the immediate couple of quarters.
Right. So this capacity is built on what kind of land, like in acres?
This present capacity is in a building area, I can say, is around 50,000, and 25,000 shed is getting ready for as a warehouse. That will take a couple of months to complete by end of September, I think. That warehouse also will be ready. So now currently it is housed in 50,000 square feet area. And another 25,000 will be added by September. And by then, these new capacities also will be added, so that we'll have enough space for warehousing and storage. Land-wise, we acquired 2.5 acres of land. So wherein,
right.
Given the floor index, I think typically we can easily add about 2 to 3 lakh square feet in the future for pharma. Not in the immediate future, for the next few years.
So from 75,000, you're saying to 2 to 3 lakhs additional?
75,000 to another additional of 2.5 to 3 lakh square feet is possible in the new land what we acquired. Currently, it's only 25,000. 25,000 is being added. That will be ready by September.
Right, right. So with this new land, we can 5x, basically 5x are like pharma capacity.
Yes, another 4 to 5x is possible.
Right. Thank you, sir. That was insightful. So secondly, like you mentioned in the call that there are some 20 products under development in pharma. So like I just want to understand like what kind of products are these? Are these like slightly more complex products in terms of like how you're making them? Like how are the realizations on these products related to the current products that we're making, EV tubes, canisters and like caps? So just wanted some clarity on that.
I think it's a good question you asked, because when I say 20 products, it's not 20 new products. 20 products which are required by the industry. For example, I told last time also, there is a 300 ml jar with, say, 25 grams weight. Some clients require thicker bottle. Some people want lighter bottle. So because of the product. And they want a same 300 ml bottle, same dimensions, but a 35 gram instead of 25 gram. Or they want for 15 gram. So how you quickly develop those cores and cavities to change the weight is something I call it as a new application. Instead of saying new product, I should have said a new application for the same product. So those changes, we are doing almost 10 to 15 of them. And new products, another 3 to 4 of them, which are completely new for us in our product range. Not necessarily new in the industry. So that way we are widening our product range. And there's... Okay, value additions, if they are bottles and caps, as I said, they are medium range. somewhere around 80 to 100, 120 rupees per kg, maybe 80 to 100. But if it is other products like caps and new products, they will be in the range of 150, 170 per kg, EBITDA.
And sir, like, now that we've also like gotten into molded vial trays and like the CRC caps, how are these products compared to the current products that we're making in terms of realizations?
They will be middle order, say something around 120 range.
Right. And sir, finally, one last question. I just wanted some update on the exports part of the division. Like you were saying that we were getting, we had supplied some trial quantities in US, and again, like you were looking to looking for some opportunities in Europe as well. So some update on that, sir.
Yeah, we are now actually actively pursuing exports to Bangladesh and Europe because US is kind of stagnated. Clients are waiting for some clarity on the duty structure. So repeat orders are not yet received. There is one inquiry going on, but they are waiting for clarity on the duty structures before they make a form orders. But going forward, there are opportunities for exports. And we set up a team to work on that. A two-member team is working currently on export push. So things will happen. As I said, in pharma, it's always a long-run process of approval, trials, and commercial orders. So that process started with a couple of clients in US, one or two clients in Bangladesh. Europe, one client has accepted. Then he's taken a small batch for filling trials. So maybe another few more months down the line, something can happen there. And we are also participating in the European pharma exhibition sometime in October. Is it October? PharmExcel. End of October. So probably we'll have better leads and a bigger product range to display when we go there. So I don't count on big export number this year, but that can start adding reasonable quantities from next year.
Right. And sir, since we're sort of like short on pharma capacity in terms of the demand that we're seeing in this segment, so like how would the management like sort of distribute the bandwidth in terms of like the focus on pharma division in domestic versus export market? And generally, like, what is the realization spread like? Is realization better than exports of pharma products compared to India?
Not necessarily. Given the transport cost and other elements of cost, even Indian and export margins are almost similar. Little better in export, in especially products like canisters and small products like caps. But they'll be equal in bottles and other bigger products because the transport eats away considerable cost. So I would say exports to countries like Europe and US will be marginally better in terms of margins, but not so exciting.
Right. Thank you, sir. These were my questions, and all the best to the team, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating actively in the Q1 conference of Moltec Packaging. And I also thank Nitin from MK for giving us this opportunity. And thanks, operator, for conducting the meeting in an organized manner. Thank you very much, all. Have a nice day. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Service Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.